What does it matter to you or to me? I mean, we know that at the end of our life, if we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have that promise that's held out for us at the end of our life, that because He rose again from the dead, we shall also in like manner rise again from the dead and be with Him. It shows to us that He broke through death, which is our greatest fear, and that we likewise shall also break through death and conquer our greatest fear at the end of our life. But what difference does it make to us today? Does it make a difference to you today? Are you living in resurrection power today? Please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. I'm going to read from verse 11 through to verse 17. What prevents us from living in resurrection power daily? What prevents us from walking in the newness of life daily? There are three things that I think, that I see from this passage, and that I want to share with you this morning. Three reasons why we don't walk in resurrection power like we could. And I'm thinking of them now as they're like snooze buttons. You know, do you have a snooze button on your alarm clock? Do you use your snooze button? Do you get up when you should every morning? Are there some times when you hit that snooze button and you go right back to sleep for a little while? Is morning your favorite time, and do you like to relive it over and over and over again? Just to show you how wonderfully patient my wife is. I hit the snooze button 3 or 4 days ago. I probably hit it like 10 times. And very patiently, she just allowed that to happen. But these three things that keep us from living in resurrection power, they're like snooze buttons. We know we could have the freedom to walk in Christ and in His resurrection power, but we, in our flesh, we shrink back. We hit that snooze button and we go back to sleep, spiritually. It's time to arise, but we prefer, spiritually, we prefer the comforts of death, the comforts of sleep. John chapter 20, verse 11 through 17. You're familiar with this passage. I'm going to bypass the part where the tomb is empty, and we know that Jesus has risen again from the dead. I'm going to bypass the part where the women come and they're the first to notice this. And that's no surprise to us that the women are the first there. And I'm going to zero in on verse 11 and take us on through verse 17. And I want us to see Mary's heart, who so loves the Lord Jesus that she has to be in that same region. She can't be pulled away from the area where her Lord's body last was. Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. Let me stop right there. She stooped to look into the tomb. She has to stoop to look into where Jesus was. I'm told that when you go to Bethlehem and look at the area where they say Jesus was born, you have to stoop to look into that place also. Could be there just a geographical lesson for us. We have to stoop if we're going to be near the Lord. We have to humble ourselves if we're going to follow Him. So, as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting there where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing. But she did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" This is a question. It's not a question that's derived to give us information. Jesus doesn't need the information, but he's asking this question for the effect that it's supposed to have on her. And it's supposed to have an effect on us all. Why does he ask this question? Why does God ask Adam in the garden, "Where are you?" It's not because he didn't know where Adam was. It's not because he couldn't see him hiding behind that tree. It was because he needed Adam to know that he was asking this question so that Adam would process the fact that he is in hiding from the Lord. And so it is here. Why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She needs to process that she's not looking for him rightly. Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have laid him," assuming that this body is dead, right? Jesus is dead, is what she believes. Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to the Father and to your Father and to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he has said these things to her. So, these three things that stand between us and resurrection power, these three snooze buttons that we continually hit in our spiritual lives. The first is cynicism, or a fear of others. The second is shallowness, selfishness. And the third is hopelessness. And we're going to get into this here in a moment. He says, "Why are you seeking?" This first snooze button that we have here, cynicism. What is it that she's afraid of? We can be so distraught over the things that we've lost. We can be so fearful that our lives are going to be going down the tubes. And believe it or not, we're comfortable in that arena. We're much more comfortable in the arena of being afraid that our lives are going down the tubes than we are having faith that the Lord will carry us through and bring us on to a brighter, happier, more hopeful day. We choose this. I mean, how is it that on the one hand, we can know that the Lord is for us, He has given to us everything we need, that everything in our lives work together for good for those He has called. We can know, if we're good Calvinists, we can say to one another, God is sovereign over all. He's sovereign over everything in the world, sovereign over everything in the nation. Do you believe that God is sovereign over the nation? Do you believe that God is sovereign over this nation? Are you afraid of what Barack Obama can do? Do you believe he's a dangerous man? Do you believe he's dangerously leftist, socialist, communist? Do you believe that our Congress is so political that it gets nothing done? Do you believe the Supreme Court is just going to drag us further and further down? Do you believe these things at the same time that you believe and confess that God is sovereign? If you do, then you know what I'm talking about, this snooze button that you hit. Every time you gripe, every time you grumble and complain and allow yourselves to be dragged into groaning about the people that God has put in power. It's more comfortable for us to fear political powers than it is for us to reach out with a hand of faith knowing that God is in sovereign control of this nation. Why are you weeping? This is the question Jesus asks Mary, and it's the question that Jesus asks us. Why are you weeping? Why are you fearful? I mean, either Jesus rose from the dead and He is with us, He's either standing at our right hand and we shall not be moved, or He's not. It's an either-or proposition. Did you read about the guy from England who bet everything on a turn of the roulette wheel? He came from England and went to Las Vegas. He sold everything that he had. Sold all of his possessions, house, car, clothes. He sold all of his clothes. Came to Las Vegas in a rented tuxedo, put $138,000, all the money he had, $138,000 down on one turn of the roulette wheel. And you say, that's crazy. I mean, either he's going to walk out of there twice wealthier, twice the wealthy man that he was when he went to Las Vegas, or he's going to walk out of there and have to turn in that suit the next day. we say that's crazy. But it's an either-or proposition with Jesus Christ also. You're either banking on Jesus Christ having been raised from the dead and standing at your right hand in complete sovereign control of everything, or you're not. And if you're not, what are you doing? You're banking against it. You're banking against it. You're saying to yourself, Jesus, yeah, nice story. Good man. Maybe it's true. Hopefully, sounds nice. But you're not putting yourself totally in control, under the control of the Lord. And you're not living according to that confession. And so we do this all the time. Service project comes along. Why are you doing that? Why do you enter into a service project? Is it because you've got a little extra time, you want to feel like a good person, or are you doing it because the Lord Jesus is in your life, working through your life to bless others? Why do you give tithes? Is the tithe check that you write to the church like a bill, one among many bills that you write every month? Or are you doing that because consciously the Lord is right at your hand, your right hand, and He is blessing others through your work? You're either recognizing Him at your right hand or you're not. And it can't be both. So the first snooze button then is cynicism. It's a fear of the powers of others. It's a leaving off of the confidence that you have, knowing that you are right next to the King of the universe who loves you and is providing for you. The second snooze button then is selfishness or shallowness. In your flesh, you would rather love selfishly than sacrificially. Jesus looked at her and said, "Woman, whom are you seeking?" She was convinced that He was gone. Because of her lack of faith in what He had said, because of her lack of faith in who He was, she was convinced that He was dead. And you see how a lack of faith leads to a lack of sacrificial love. She's there grieving the loss, the death of her loved, her beloved Jesus. But the sacrificial love that He has for her is not one that would end. It would not diminish in importance. It would not diminish in closeness. Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." That is a cross of sacrificial love. It's a cross of giving, such that the object of your love, the one unto whom you are giving, becomes more and more dear to you. Why does that person become more and more dear to you? It's because you're sacrificing for them. We enter into emotional bargaining with people all the time. We do this. And sometimes we make out ahead emotionally. But that's not love. Love is when you have so given of yourself that the person unto whom you have given becomes more and more dear to you because you have given to that person. This is why a mother's love for her child is so, so precious, because of the sacrificial love that she has poured out on that child. We were given an anonymous gift a couple weeks ago. I have no idea who gave this gift to us. But the one thing that I know about this giver of the gift is that we are now more precious to them because they have given to us. Jesus says to the woman at the well, "If you had known who you were talking to, you would have asked him, and he would have given living water, and that water would always satisfy." He has given everything to us, and it isn't until we give sacrificially back to him that we grow in our love for him. It isn't until we give sacrificially to one another that we grow in our love for one another. And it's only when Christ dwells in you that you will learn how to love, and how he loved was sacrificially. But again, in your flesh, you don't want to do this. In your flesh, you don't want to put yourself out for others. That's the snooze button. But in resurrected power, it's your greatest joy to sacrificially give as he sacrificially gave. Third snooze button is nostalgia. Nostalgia. Cynicism, selfishness, nostalgia. She clings to him. Why does she cling to him? Because she wants so desperately for things to be like they were. She loves sitting at his feet and hearing him speak. She loves all those hours with him. She wants desperately those old days to return. And so it is with us. We hit that snooze button every time. We would much rather have what we used to have when the good old days were among us. We would much rather have what we had back then than what we will have when we meet God in the future. And I don't mean the far off future. I mean next week. No. 3 days from now. The God who will meet you day after tomorrow. Are you looking forward with hope to what is coming right around the corner? Or would you rather have what you think you had back then? The good old days weren't always good. And if any of you know that Billy Joel song, I want to bring you back to the sermon this morning now. So she's thinking this guy's the gardener. Where have you laid him? And then he calls her name. And so it is with us. And are these not the most precious parts of Scripture to you? Samuel, Samuel. When the Lord calls Samuel. Simon, Simon. And you know that, don't you, in your own heart, when he's called you by name. And that's what it takes for her to realize who she was talking to. So he says, "Don't cling to me." Are there any here that are not big on hugging? Are you not a hugger? You're a hugger, aren't you? Most people, you don't want to admit that you're not a hugger. You think maybe Jesus is not a hugger here because of what he says, "Don't cling to me"? He was glad to have the children come and to hug him. I believe seriously that Jesus was a hugger. That isn't what he was saying here. He was saying, you've got to want what is coming next. Things will never go back to the way they were, but they will get better if you are in Christ. So he's going to meet you in the future. And you have the option. If the Lord is one you always keep at your right hand, then it will be the delight of your soul not to hit that snooze button, but to arise as he arose. You will arise and you will walk in the newness of life and resurrected power. Not in cynicism, but in the precious knowledge that he is here and he is in control of everything. Not in shallow love, but in self-sacrificing love. Not in nostalgia, but in anticipation of the new thing that's right around the corner. And he does this with us because he has risen from the dead. And he has before him a whole seed, a whole generation of people who also rise daily and will rise to bless him. And that's what we're going to sing in Psalm 22i about the generation which will rise to bless him. So can we please sing that together? But let's pray first. Father in heaven, thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you are working through us, empowering our steps, giving us joy in our service to you and to one another. Thank you that we walk the road that you walked, and it is through sacrificing, bearing our cross daily, that we know you better. We pray that you bless us with an ever-increasing knowledge of the grace and the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's please say